Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and it's midweek, and that means it's time for our Tech Talk segment. We've got Straits Times tech contributor Wong Kai with us on the line. Kai, how are you?
Very good, Rachel. Very good. Having a good week so far.
Great.
Well, interesting weather. Super rainy last night.
Has been interesting weather. Weather to stay indoors and watch Netflix, which is what we're going to talk about.
Yes.
Since we're Netflix
and all the other streaming services.
Since we're on the circuit breaker period anyway. So speaking of Netflix, in a highly unusual move, they're going to start asking customers who haven't used the platform in the past year if they want to keep the subscriptions. And if a customer doesn't respond, Netflix will automatically cancel that subscription. Coming from a huge tech firm, this is almost unheard of. You know, sometimes you feel like you have to kind of fight around to cancel a subscription. What's going on here?
So seems like Netflix is trying to, you know, in a move like that to engender even more loyalty from its customers. If you think about it, so they announced Thursday last week, so that they will start asking customers who haven't used that platform for maybe say a year or so if they want to keep the subscription. So it's a move that is quite unusual among tech firms. I mean, like you said, it seems that whenever we open up our mailbox, we have subscriptions dating back from goodness knows when.
Mm.
And Netflix seems to be doing a little bit more proactive work on its part to tell its customers that, hey, you know, you've not been using the subscription for a long time. Maybe you could take a break, eh? And it's quite unusual. And I guess it's a move to help it stand out among the burgeoning crowd of over-the-top streaming services, for example, HBO Go, Amazon Prime Video, mm-hmm. Even Disney Plus, and in the US, NBC Universal's Peacock, and Warner Media's upcoming HBO Max. And I think a move like that really shows the confidence that Netflix has, firstly, in its subscriber numbers and in its ability to attract consumers as well. Because if you were a struggling company and you wanted to retain all the subscribers that you could, you didn't really have to pull a move like this. You could just let them keep paying month after month.
And speaking of subscriber numbers, do we have any indication of how many inactive accounts there possibly are?
So Netflix actually said its inactive accounts represent less than 0.5% of its overall member base.
Right.
So breaking down the numbers, 0.5% is probably, you know, we're looking at 0.5% of its overall member base. And it has already factored these inactive accounts into its financial guidance. So the company saw a huge uptick in subscribers in the past quarter. So this is obviously due to the work from home shelter in place restrictions around the world due to coronavirus. And Netflix, at the end of the first quarter this year, reported 183 million subscribers. So we are looking at 0.5% of 183 million subscribers. So a company like Netflix that constantly attracts huge numbers every quarter, this is, you know, I think this is a great gesture on their part. It's also, like I mentioned, a measure of how confident they are to continually attract new subscribers to the platform, so much so that they can afford to maybe lose, you know, maybe a few thousand with this move.
Okay, now moving on, the former head of smartphone maker HTC is making a big bet that virtual reality will be the next big thing, and they've announced a VR headset. I'm curious, Kai, what's different this time around? Because VR headsets have been on the market for quite a while.
Exactly, that's correct. VR headsets have been around for quite a while. Facebook, with its Oculus division, has been producing headsets, you know, both wireless and wired headsets. And the former head of HTC, some will remember, is Peter Cho. He's now throwing his hat into the ring and saying, hey, we think VR is definitely here to stay. And, you know, we're putting some money into it. So this is, his new venture is called XR Space, and it has been in the works for 3 years. And it's in the core of it is a mobile VR headset equipped with fifth generation wireless networking and over 3 hours of battery life.
Mm.
So the headset will be built on a VR platform that the company is also creating, which provides services, games, social activities, that sort of thing, you know, some more so playing up the social aspect here. The headset will be priced at $599.
Okay.
So in our terms, that'll be maybe $700-$800 by the time it comes here. Call it 900, I'm going to say. Right? It's a little bit pricey, for sure. It's not a impulse purchase. You know, just go and buy it. But I think it will, but the company actually will sort of bundle it with carrier's 5G service packages, because a core part of the headset is high-speed 5G networking as well.
And so what can we expect then from this VR headset combined with the 5G network? How is it going to elevate the VR experience? I mean, what are we going to get for our $900?
Well, good question. So when we look at VR experiences, it's mostly social, right? So when you put on a VR headset, you can play games with other people, virtual reality, and XR Space is actually doubling down on that. Mm-hmm. So it's building its services on a virtual world, and it has been designing public and private spaces for users to inhabit, and even create virtual stadiums where sports fans
wow.
can sort of gather for a shared viewing of a ball game. Exactly. So I guess if anything, during this pandemic, we have learned that social experiences, you know, people getting together, is a very important part of human interaction, of create bonds between people. So XR Space is trying to double down on that, and it's trying to create all these virtual worlds, virtual spaces like the stadium that people could gather and view, you know, games ranging from basketball to baseball.
We're speaking to Straits Times tech contributor Wong Kai. So, Kai, moving on to SpaceX. Now, SpaceX will be sending a rocket carrying two astronauts set to blast off from the International Space Station later this week, heralding a new dawn in space flight as government-led space exploration makes way for private entities like SpaceX. How significant is this launch?
Well, if you passed your mind back, say, maybe, was it 10 years ago, I think? Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the last. That was the last flight I remember of the space shuttle. So they had this big, huge, basically a media circus about the last space shuttle touching down and the end of an era of human space flight. So ever since then, the U.S. Space Agency, NASA, has actually been sort of talking to private agencies, trying to get them to build up their capabilities so that you know, the U.S. could have a space program again, because the International Space Station has been serviced by Russian rockets, and I assume there's maybe an element of, you know, national pride in here. So this historic flight will be the last big milestone for SpaceX as part of NASA's Commercial Crew Program, which is an experimental initiative tasked, you know, with asking private companies to create new spacecraft that are capable of transporting astronauts to and from the International Space Station. So this is the very first, in other words, this is the very first private space flight, human-carrying space flight, so to speak. And it's been, you know, 6 years in the making. So last year, the company did a full dress rehearsal. They actually launched the Crew Dragon, what they're calling the crew capsule, but without a crew on board, of course. So they actually launched it to the space station as a test. And the company also tested the capsule's emergency escape system, very important. And it can confirm that the Crew Dragon can carry people to safety if something goes wrong. So it's been quite a while in the making, and I'm very excited to see it later today. So it's about 4 a.m. Thursday morning, actually, that if anyone wants to tune in to see this historic launch.
So what does the future hold for SpaceX's launches after this?
Well, clearly this flight is as much a huge milestone in SpaceX's history as much as a proof that they can carry human beings into space. So once the two astronauts have flown to the International Space Station and they have come back, I think it's a matter of time before we see trips like this become more and more routine. That's actually what the Commercial Crew Program that NASA initiated is all about. They will obviously get the data gathered during this test flight and use that information to certify the next Crew Dragon for regular flights to and from the ISS. So after this flight, SpaceX's next fully operational mission of the Crew Dragon will then just be a few months away. And that flight will carry four people instead of two. So four NASA astronauts, and their flight is expected to occur, you know, maybe early Q3 or Q4, depending on maybe weather conditions. And I guess it will mark a milestone in human spaceflight, because never before has a private company taken humans into space, like, you know, into deep space, rather.
You know, and it's an interesting time as well, because at the moment we can't travel out country, but people are traveling to space, so there we go.
No, just skip the whole human interaction part, just go straight into space, why not?
Okay, well, Kai, before we go, I'm sure you've got your fun tech fact for us for today.
Right, so if you're on the lookout for a new smartphone, keep your eyes peeled in August, when the bigger and better Samsung Galaxy Note 20 is expected to launch. So
what can we expect?
Rumor mill has it.
Okay.
Yeah, the rumor mill has it that we're going to get a similar camera setup from the current Galaxy S20 Ultra, and a huge screen from the looks of it. Something towards something in the region of a 6.9-inch display. People with long memories will recall that tablets not so long ago had 7-inch displays. So we are approaching uncharted territory here.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Kai, and for sharing all of that with us.
Thanks very much, Rachel.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3, and we've been speaking to Straits Times tech contributor Wong Kai.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.